Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And this little passage right here is going to be a very good message for us today regarding this subject. Forget not my law. Forget not my law. Now let's read the passage with that in mind and then we'll study. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now just looking at the little proverb that we have here, it has to do with a son receiving law that's been given to him by his father. So the commission, my son, forget not my law. And then the promise of what the law would do for him. And then another command, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And then another result from that. Now, when he says, my son, forget not my law, which is the first thing we want to look at here because it's the first thing that appears in the text, then we've got to understand, first of all, what he means by the law. And when he says, forget not my law, you really have a couple of applications here. You have the law of God, which is found in the Bible. And then you have the law, which is whatever his father told him to do that was the right thing to do. Which may or may not be something that he saw for himself or heard for himself from the Bible. My son, forget not my law. It is a position of authority for a father to give direction to his son, and the direction that he give him be both something that can be established and verified by an examination of the Bible, and also something that can simply be a command of the Father. That's just the way it's going to be. I think that's the way some of have heard commands given to us by our dads. Well, I'm your father, and I ask you to do it, and that's why we're going to do it that way. I'm your father, I told you to do it that way, and that's why we do it that way. And there you go. Now, what this presumes is this, that the son has been given the law of God, and the son has been given the law of his father by hearing it from his parents directly or having it given to him while he's in church or Sunday school. In other words, if a child does not receive any instruction as a child, and he has no father or mother to give him instruction, no father or mother who will be the authority in his life, nobody at home that will show him the words of God and the words of a man or the words of parents that would grow them up under rule, under authority, then the child is going to grow up lawless. One of the great tragedies is that in school, children are no longer exposed to the commandments. That's a great tragedy. And you know something? There's something really good in those. There's something really good in those commandments that we expect our children to keep as they get older. Thou shalt not steal. That's a great commandment. And the truth of the matter is, in society, we don't expect our children to steal. As a matter of fact, it's a crime and it's punishable. Thou shalt not kill. That's a great commandment. And we expect the people in our society to keep that commandment. And when they don't, they can be imprisoned or executed in some cases, depending on who they kill and how they kill them and how many they kill. That's a great commandment. But it has now been determined unconstitutional for children to be taught that law, because that's a commandment of God, and they're supposed to be, as the courts have now defined in the last 50 years, a separation of church and state, and that what they learn in school, they should learn absent from God and absent from the Bible. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a great law. When people marry, they exchange vows, and in the vows, they promise to each other their faithfulness. And so, it is only expected once they've had that vow to each other that they're going to remain faithful to the marriage, that neither party wants the other one to commit adultery against them. Adultery is something also that can be committed in the heart when a man lusts after a woman in his heart. And most women that I know that are married don't want their husbands doing that. That's an excellent law. As a matter of fact, adultery, they say, is only committed by married people. It's not only committed by married people. Adultery is not confined just to marriage. It's not just unfaithfulness in a marriage. Adultery can include the thought, and therefore it can be committed by somebody who's not married. And frankly, as a father with teenage children, I don't want them committing adultery. And as a parent with teenage children, or as a young person, not married yet but hoping to marry sometime, I believe you'd want your children to stay clean. I believe you'd want your spouse to be clean when you married. That's an excellent law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. That's an excellent law. You know, that'll keep people from spending more money than they have. I think the advertising industry and the credit card industry make a tremendous amount of money getting people indebted, buying things that they don't need, but things they think they can't live without. And the nature of that in a man's heart is covetousness. That's an excellent law. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's an excellent law. Excellent law. But frankly, I was reading something from a college pamphlet the other day, and they were trying to encourage the kids that were coming to college to no longer be concerned about parents. Now, I know that's not, if I were to sit down with the person that wrote that article, they would flatly deny that's what they intended by the article, but the article basically said, you're going to discover some new problems and new concerns, and now we're encouraging you to work those out on your own without the benefit of your parents. In other words, the way the article was written, they were actually trying to encourage the kids to start maturing into adulthood in the absence of their parents. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of us now that are in our 40s and 50s and even 60s whose parents are still alive, and it's still a great thing to be able to sit down and take counsel with your parents and still give honor to mom and dad. And truthfully, what happens oftentimes in school is that the children learn a separation and begin to do things that mom and dad would not approve of. And therefore, the honor is no longer there, and that's partly because there is a compelling interest to do what your friends want you to do or do what your educators want you to do and no longer concern yourself with what mom and dad want you to do. There are a lot of people who have learned that certain things about life from school that they weren't taught at home. And they decided what they learned at school was better than what they learned at home because what they learned at home was more restrictive than what they are now interested in. And so they look to the school or what they've been taught among their peers or by their professors at school as more of a rule than what they heard at home. And now they throw off, they forget the law and the commandments that they were given at home. That's not good. Right now they think it's good, but when they're older and look back on those with embarrassment, now that they're raising their own children, you'll be sure that they won't want to talk about some of the things they experienced while they're around their schoolmates. When, for instance, a man runs for political office, there is still an overriding concern as to whether or not he used drugs in his former time, right around college and stuff like that. And many of the politicians have. But many of the politicians flatly deny it or are embarrassed about what happened back in those days because they don't want that kind of thing to taint their political career. They'd have been better off remembering the law of their parents. Now, it's absolutely necessary that a child learn these things at an early age through their church and Sunday school and home Bible study. And if you're not ensuring that your children are growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and not hearing the law, if they're not doing that, you're failing them. Because Solomon said, don't forget my law and let thine heart keep my commandments. And if you're not allowing them to get those things repetitiously where they won't forget them, and you're not allowing them to get them repetitiously where those things sink down into the heart, you're denying them something they desperately need. And listen, we haven't even talked about the other commandments about not having any other gods before me, speaking of God Almighty. Listen, he is the one to whom we all have to give an account, and it is a great tragedy that children are not allowed to hear more about God Almighty where they are spending 7 to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, at least 9 months out of the year. That's a tragedy, because they're going to have to give an account to that God. And what, 1 hour of church and 1 hour of Sunday school, one time a week, a total of 2 hours, compared to the 7 or 8 hours that they get at school, 40 hours a week. Oh, man, you got an uphill battle. If you're not taking the time at home to show them these things, you know what? They won't forget the law, because they will not have ever heard it for the first time. You say, if that's coming on a little strong, I intend to. You and I, as parents, have got to see to it that our children are exposed thoroughly to the laws of God and to the authority of a home, and that those laws that they hear are written in their hearts where they can follow them. And I've just given you a few. There are many others. There's good ones in the New Testament. If a man doesn't work, he oughtn't to eat. That's a good one. And on it goes. He said, let thy heart keep my commandments. Then those laws have got to sink down into the heart so that the child will not forget them even when dad is not around. Let me give you a good example of this, okay? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. There's a word that comes to Jeremiah from the Lord when Jehoiakim is still the king. All right, it comes to him, and here's what happens in verse 2, Jeremiah chapter 35. Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Now that's the command of God to Jeremiah, to the Rechabites. All right, verse 3. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chambers of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Verse 8, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed. But we have dealt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. Now right there is an absolutely perfect example of what we've been studying in the first verse of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. He told them what to do, and apparently he's no longer with them, and they are following his commands, even though Jonadab, the son of Rechab, their father, wasn't with them. They obeyed everything, just like he said, and look at their reward. Therefore, verse 19, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. God said, I'll take that man right there. What a tremendous testimony. Jonadab told those Rechabites, don't drink wine, don't buy cities, and don't plant vineyards and olive yards and things like that, but roam like nomads and keep away from that liquor. And that's exactly what they did, and they were granted to have a man stand before the Lord forever. Wow. What a perfect example of what we've learned here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Tremendous example. Absolutely necessary that you do what you're told. God forbid that children should be raised without a Bible influence, showing them the proper things to do before God. And you say, well, I don't believe all of that. Well, look at verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You want long life for your children, don't you? You want length of days for your children, don't you? And peace? You want long life and length of days and peace for yourself, don't you? Then do what you're told. Listen, children need to be raised under authority. That's the way we're designed, by the God that made us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Long life is not solely a matter of exercise and nutrition. I mean, there's an awful lot of evidence that says you'll live, your body will function better if you get good rest and if you take care of your nutrition and diet properly and maybe even supplement something of the stuff that you consume, exercise. Those things all have a part. But let me show you the biggest part here. There is a commandment from God that was given to children that said, honor thy father and mother. And the result of that commandment is a promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now that's a promise from God Almighty. And that promise is based upon something that God gave in the Ten Commandments. And that commandment says this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There it is. In black and white. That's an excellent command. Why would that be withheld from a child? Why would you not encourage your children to honor you and to obey you? Why, as a child, will you not honor your father and mother? There's a promise there that your days may be long upon the land which thy Lord thy God giveth thee. And let me tell you something. In case you're wondering whether God has any control over the length of your life, look in Psalm 91, verse 16. He does. Psalm 91, 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God's in charge of that. The length of days and the peace. Listen, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. You don't think your life will be a little more peaceful if you don't do that? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You're going to have peace if you live like that. Recently, I heard of a sad, sad case of a young man when he was 16 years old who smoked some marijuana that a friend of his had given him. And then the guy told him he wanted to be paid for the marijuana that the fellow smoked and asked him to give him 10 bucks. Well, the long story short, because he refused to pay, eventually, because of a series of other circumstances, he wound up in prison for a long, long time. 10 bucks. 10 bucks. If he'd had a mom and dad around to give him a command, a church around, a Sunday school around, a grandfather around, somebody around that would have given him a command, grandmother, somebody around that would have given him a command, and he would have kept that command, forget not my law, let the heart keep my commandments, it kept that command, he never would have found himself in that trouble and would not have suffered the things he's suffered since he's been there. Look, when you get the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and follow these things, you've got peace, because the fruit of the Spirit, among other things, is peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, goodness. When you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in you and a God that will listen to your prayers, you have peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Length of days. Let me tell you something. It's a great tragedy not to have your kids in school, in a Sunday school, in a church where they'll hear the words of God, and under your authority, with an open Bible in your house, showing them the things of God. He says in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth, you've got to keep those in balance. Mercy and truth come from these words of God. Listen, when a man is hyper-liberal, he's all mercy and no truth, and he just lets people keep getting away with trouble. When a man's hyper-conservative, he's all truth and no mercy. And all he wants to do is draw up a fence so tight you can't move. Now the truth is the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And mercy is compassion, which when you've broken the truth, you get from God, allowing you from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been shed to repent of that transgression, to continue to live, and to do better. Mercy. Mercy and truth. You got to have them both. Mercy, because mercy shows the compassion that allows you to live through a sin. And truth, so that you can see what that sin is and avoid it next time. In John chapter 8, we got a woman that was caught in adultery. Remember that? It was a setup. You know it was a setup because they caught her in the very act and they brought her and not the man. In John chapter 8, verse 3, the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they'd set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act, and Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? And the Lord stooped with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And eventually he says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And eventually, those men were convicted by their own conscience, and they went out and left her alone. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw that none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's mercy. Go. That's mercy. Neither do I condemn thee. That's mercy. But he says, and sin no more. That's truth. Truth and mercy, you got to have them both. You're not going to keep sinning against God and sinning against God in the same thing without acknowledging the truth and just keep living in that mercy. God, one of these days, is going to lower the boom on you. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira lied about an offering and died on the spot. To send fear into the rest of the congregation, not to lie to the Holy Ghost and not to lie to God. I'm sure others did after that and got some mercy. But when they saw the truth of what God had done to Ananias and Sapphira, walked in the light of that truth and quit doing that. Mercy preserves me now, and mercy preserves you now. Because God did not kill us or throw us into hell for the things that we've done, those things we deserve. But not only does mercy preserve us, so does the truth today. So that as the truth, we have a guide now that will keep us out of trouble with God. He says, bind them upon thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. They ought to be down in your heart by memory and written around your neck to guide your head and mind. And what's the result of letting mercy and truth guide you? And what is the result of not forsaking mercy and truth? Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man? What an incredible promise. To know that you're in favor with man and to know that you're in favor with God? Why, those are characteristics that Jesus Christ himself had in Luke 2:52. The Bible says about Jesus Christ that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Why, what a tremendous promise of God. But you know what Jesus Christ honestly could say? I do always those things that please him. Tremendous promise. Samuel is known as one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had. And when when Samuel was first given to Eli, to go and to raise up in the ministry with him, The Bible says about Samuel in 1 Samuel 2:26, the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. What a tremendous commendation. What a tremendous character this young man had. You know what? Paul the Apostle wasn't always like that. Paul the Apostle went with what he thought was the truth and fought against the gospel without mercy. He had no compassion on the prisoners that he took that were saved by the grace of God, but ordered their destruction or ordered them to blaspheme. And yet after Paul the Apostle got saved, he began to conduct his life differently and walked in both truth and mercy, and said in Acts chapter 24 when he gave his own testimony, in Acts chapter 24 verse 16, he said, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Wow, what a tremendous testimony Paul had. You know, Stephen preached the truth and died for it. And when he died, he was asking God to forgive his murderers, just like Jesus did. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's mercy. And look at all the people who have favor with Jesus Christ. And look at all the people who have favor because of what Stephen did today. You and I enjoy the favor of God and the mercy of God and the truth of God because Jesus Christ forgave his accusers and went ahead and died willingly on the cross. What a tremendous thing. What a tremendous opportunity for you and me. So we are to be instructed by this. We are to be instructed that it is right to hear the law of God at a young age, to memorize it so that it's down in our heart and in our mind where we can't forget it, to rely upon those things to give us length of days and peace and long life, and then to be guided by mercy and truth so that we'll be in good understanding and favor in the sight of God and man. That, my friend, is a tremendous proverb that is terribly needed today. Recently talking to a probation officer in juvenile delinquency, he said, "What children need is a mentor who cares." And there it is right there in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.